poor, no great facilities. So what was my thoughts? I thought to myself, man, if what is here isn't 100%, but how can I get out? How can I get outside these four walls? Man, you ever been to the food court? You got those nice ladies walking around with free chicken, just handing out samples. I believe in that model, that if people aren't coming to you, go to them, you know, give them a taste and see that the Lord is good. Right. So, one way I leveraged, some relationships is actually, you know, in South Florida, that's where I got saved. And I told you my story. I went to a club at my school, that organization's called First Priority. There is a big chapter here in South Florida. There's some around in other states, but the idea is it's basically a Christian club. And I'm like, why can we not start that in every school?
Well, hey, welcome to this episode of the Pastor's Roundtable Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Latham. And today I'm excited to talk with my friend, Danny, who is the youth pastor at First Baptist Church in Fort Lauderdale. And Danny and I have known each other for a little while. We've gone back and forth with some coaching and some movements and just kind of life. And so excited to talk with you guys today about campus ministry, about starting a new ministry. But Danny, grew up in South Florida. He found Christ by a church invite while at a school campus club. And he shortly fell in love with creative ministry. He served and worked at Church by the Glades for 8 years, and then he was youth pastor at the local church in South Florida for 3 years. He calls himself a dual income, no kids, dog dad for now, at least. And he's married to his wife, Liz. He loves doing urban ministry in Fort Lauderdale for the last 18 years. Danny, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
My man, Ryan, everything I am is because of you. You've trained me.
I wish it was true, man. Unfortunately, I know that you have some amazing mentors in your life who have been a part of your journey for many years. Some of them have even been on this podcast. So, so great to have you here. I'm excited for you to share a little bit about your journey. So you've been at a couple churches, man. Just walk us through a little bit of that ministry journey.
Let's go, man. Let me take you from infancy on. So I started, dude, I was not a religious kid. My parents weren't pastors. I was just some bum at a high school. And there was a club that gave out free pizza. And I'm like, if it's free, it's me, baby. So I just showed up. And there was some dude preaching, could care less about what he said, but got my free pizza and left. And I kept doing this a couple months over until they finally said, hey, we see you every week stealing our pizza. What's your name? And they got to know me, cared about me. I'm like, who are these people and why are they so caring? And I got an invite to church because I went to a club on campus that was preaching Jesus. And I went to church, it's a church called Church by the Glades, super exciting, high energy church. And I was like, what is this? I didn't know church could be this fun. Gave my life to Christ in 2010 and nothing was the same. Jumped into ministry, did kids ministry, did student ministry, loved every minute of it. What's crazy is I went from being that bum kid who just came for free pizza to then the next year being the club president to then after graduating being the coach of the club to now being on staff at the First Priority organization and being a youth pastor. So everybody, free pizza worked for me, can work for you.
I believe it, man. Free pizza goes a long, long ways. So let's go back a little bit. You've been at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale for about 18 months. And let's just kind of go back there. You know, that church, I was a part of that journey of helping you get connected there. And so they'd kind of come out of COVID with an interim team. And they kind of knew that, hey, we're going to be looking for a full-time guy to come in. But was kind of led through this interim team, hadn't quite come back from COVID, you know, kind of a pretty, almost like a relaunch, you know, kind of a situation there. You come in. So tell us just a little bit about kind of what that was like when you first came in, and what were some of those early thoughts as you were looking through the ministry? Because you had been a part of some good sized ministries before, some really successful, not just numerically, but also just successful in developing students and developing leaders. And so when you come in, kind of this rebuild, what were some of those initial thoughts? What were some of those things you saw that said, man, this is a great fit for me?
Let's go. You say it so nice. It was a full-on rebuild. We're looking like the Houston Rockets out there. It was not pretty. So yeah, student ministry, pretty small, coming out of COVID, hurt us bad. Couple things. I came into a ministry that really didn't have a core, didn't have students who were excited to go out and invite, you know. Also, our facilities weren't great. You know, we were going through some renovations as well. So I really saw myself as, from the bottom here, no core, no great facilities. So what was my thoughts? I thought to myself, man, if what is here isn't 100%, but how can I get out? How can I get outside these four walls? You ever been to the food court? You got those nice ladies walking around with free chicken, just handing out samples. I believe in that model, that if people aren't coming to you, go to them, you know, give them a taste and see that the Lord is good. Right. So, one way I leveraged, some relationships is actually, you know, in South Florida, that's where I got saved. And I told you my story. I went to a club at my school. That organization's called First Priority. There is a big chapter here in South Florida. There's some around in other states, but the idea is it's basically a Christian club. And I'm like, why can we not start that in every school in the area? Right. So I got one start at Fort Lauderdale High School, the connecting middle school, a couple extra high schools. And dude, we just gave out some free pizza and donuts, which is my salvation story. But we've got services, seriously, services. I mean, upwards of 150 to 200 students on school campuses, right? The way I switched everything in my mind is, if I can't build a big old student ministry here yet, let me build it out there. And then over time, slowly but surely, bring them in. And it's worked, man. It really has. I said we started with 12. We're hitting the 100 number now on campus at our church. So, man, go out there, just like those people with the chicken at the mall, and bring out those free samples. It works.
Yeah. Now, I remember those first days, you're kind of working with what was there, right? So, it wasn't quite the ministry style that you necessarily would run, but you're kind of taking what was there and slowly molding it and shaping it into kind of your own style. So talk through some of those early days. What were some of those service things? I mean, it didn't even have like an official youth service. It was kind of just Sunday morning, if I remember right. So it's kind of relaunching that. What were some of those first steps to kind of getting to where you're at now? What were some of those first steps?
For sure. When you ever, and if you're a youth pastor listening, maybe starting a new ministry, you are joining a new church, man, get the DNA, get the culture, learn as much as you can. I'm not a let's go crazy right off the bat. Let me learn as much as I can. The DNA of this church is go out. Like I said, we've been in a rebuilding season, and a lot of what was prior was internal. We only care what's inside, and we're not really worried about what's out there. But man, I'm in a big city, you know, Fort Lauderdale, one of the fastest growing cities in America, and we're 97% unchurched. There's no lack of people who need Jesus out here. We just got to go get them. So, early days, I want to just cultivate with the few students I did have a good relationship, with the few volunteers I did have a great relationship, and build some more volunteers and build that infrastructure. So if students do come, we're ready for them. But I wanted to build one big event. I like to call them bringer events. We only had the finances and the team to do it once a month, but it worked. We did a once a month Friday night, and all the outreach I'm doing out there pushed everybody to this Friday night. And we would just, if I only have the strength and the ability and the money to do one big knockout of the park night, you got to do it big. But those nights have been hitting 100. It's been really great. Students have been getting saved. We've had some baptisms from it. But then I've been slowly getting them a part of our congregation. Families are coming because of it. And then Sunday morning really is our bread and butter. So we get those students who really got reached through the school, reached on a Friday night to get discipled on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the step process, and it really works. You know, if you're thinking of what to do in your student ministry, think steps. What is one easy step a student can take? Not too crazy. You don't want to build a giant wall. It's so difficult for them to get to the first step, the easiest step, then the easiest second step, third step. And then soon, you know, they're a part of your church, locked in and loving it.
So there are so many different ways of doing campus ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got just so many different varieties. And I know that it's kind of hard to give a blanket answer as to this is how you should be doing campus ministry. So I'm not looking for that necessarily, because, you know, every city, every school is always so different. But for you, what's that campus ministry look like? What are you doing there? Kind of bring us right into what you're doing there.
Right, man. So it almost feels, if someone's going to come to one of the services I put on, it feels like almost an offshoot of what I do at church, right? I'm preaching the same messages, but condensed, right? So I don't know your context. I don't know where you are, what state you're in, but here in South Florida, every student goes to high school. And that doesn't change anywhere in America. They also all eat lunch, little known fact. So here's what I did right when I got there. I begged the principal, first of all, have a great relationship with the principal. Don't get kicked off. Don't do anything stupid right off the bat. You'll go to jail. I was very welcoming, loving, kind to all of the administrators. And I asked the question, you have not because you asked not. Ask the question, hey, is there a room I can have during lunch that we can do a Christian meeting? And another thing I want all to know, the law, there are laws in this country that protect you for this. There is a law called the 1984 Equal Protection Act, which will say that a school must allow something like this so long as there are students who want it and a teacher who's willing to be in the room with you. So it's not something they can say, no, we don't do this here. They must. And take advantage, right? We started something during lunchtime, and we just offered free pizza. Who wants to come? And as they come in, man, we start with games. We have fun. I've got it down to a science. It's like a 30-minute window. We play games, have fun, do a couple announcements, push people to our church, but have a quick message of hope. And at the end, man, get as many contacts, get as many information, all the information you can from these students so that you can promote later things that you're doing on campus. Man, it's going to look different in any context you do, but at the end of the day, all your students are going to go to high school. They all have lunch, and there is always going to be either a Christian club, maybe, or if there's not, man, you can start it. It is the law of the land that you can. So don't think that school and church don't mix. They absolutely can. Just go. You have not because you ask not.
Yeah, so when you're looking at that, I mean, do you kind of consider those like two separate ministries? You've got like your church students, and then you've got your public school students. I mean, do you feel like those are two separate things, or do you kind of feel like, man, these are feeding each other? They're really, you know, united.
Yeah, like I said, the step model. I like to think that everybody is reachable, right? Just be in the place where they can be reached. My hope is that the first step in getting them on my church campus is on the school campus, right? Think of it as the big front door. If your church is a house, the house of God, right? The front door should be accessible, easy, big. So I see what we do on campus as accessible to anybody. You know, maybe a student's like, man, a Friday night at 7, I'd be rather doing anything else. But lunchtime at my school that I'm already at, and you're going to give me free food? Why would I say no? Even the angry atheist kids are showing up and loving it, right? So make it simple. I think of it as the first step, and it works. You know, you may have 100, 200 students in your campus club, and that's awesome. Don't think you're going to get all 200 to come to your church yet, but it's a slow process where they trickle in, and it really does see growth on your church campus. It happened for me.
Okay, so for most of us, when we're listening to this, we're probably saying Friday night.
Yeah. Okay,
that's... So you're in a unique scenario, right? You're in a unique scenario. And you and I talked about this, and I threw this out. I was like, Danny, are you sure? Like Friday nights. And you assured me, look, man, look at my context. It makes sense. So walk us through for all those that are saying Friday night, what is he doing? Right. So walk us through.
Okay. Friday works for me. It may not work for you. Listen, the traditional is usually Wednesday, maybe Sunday. Friday, I'm in a big city, right? In the center. We do urban ministry here. Also, where I am, everyone wants to be. All the coolest restaurants and all that are down here. So I thought to myself, how can I bless parents just as much as students? And if I could tell a parent, hey, mom, dad, you can drop your high schoolers, middle schoolers off for 2.5 hours on a Friday night while you go down and have a date night. My goodness, parents love it. Love it. I'm sure I've gotten first-time guests because of it. So it works for me, may not work for you, right? If you're more suburban, maybe Wednesday's better, right? I also like to put it at Friday because that allows me the entire week to be on campuses, right? I have a couple schools on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I'm just deposited in the bank on Friday, baby. It's worked.
Yeah. So, I mean, for context, downtown Fort Lauderdale, I mean, you guys are literally downtown Fort Lauderdale. I think it's like the only church in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Right. And so you are literally surrounded by shops, bars, restaurants. I mean, it is the hub of what people are doing on a Friday night. And so, yeah, your thought was that, you know, hey, I want to provide a place where students can come, parents can go off and have an easy date night, hang out, and then come back, pick kids up, or even their friends, easy place for them. A lot of them are already in that area on a Friday, right? And then they can come over. So leveraging, being almost like a missionary, leveraging your unique context to see and not just copy pasting, hey, this is what everyone else is doing, but to look at your unique context, I just think it's great. Obviously, it's a big risk, but it's had some big rewards.
Big rewards. Man, what you just said, there's really... no copy and paste. Guys, if you're starting a ministry, starting youth ministry, look at your unique context, right? You may look at some big, massive churches and say, if I only did exactly what they did, I would get their results. And that is not the case, right? I have led a student ministry within 30 minutes of each other. One was on one side of my county and one was on the other. One was in a deep downtown concrete jungle. The other was in kind of the suburbia, it's a cow town. There's just cows walking around, right? So both of them, I did completely different things. And I don't think either of them would work in the other context, and they're 30 minutes away from each other. So don't copy and paste. Be you, be who you are, find your niche and go after it.
So good. I love that. So what advice would you give to the person who's thinking, man, I'd love to get on campus, but I just don't even know where to begin? I know you talked about kind of principle, but I know you had some previous connection that you kind of worked with. So what if they're just starting from scratch? They don't have that network. They don't have that connections. Where do they even start to begin the process of getting on campus?
Right. Man, I got lucky. There's already an awesome ministry built out called First Priority in South Florida. They have a club, Christian club in every school, basically in my area. But if you are not in that area, like I said, the only reason this is blowing up is because there's a law that protects it, that allows you to do this. Really start at your student ministry. Ask, hey, what school do you go to? You're going to find that there's one predominant school that most of your students go to. And ask, is there a Christian club? There's not. Oh boy. come in, go to the front desk, bring a box of donuts, right? Hey, my name is Danny. I'm here with X and Y Church, right? I want to tell you about something I want to start, right? Get in the principal's ear, vice principal, whatever it may be. Hey, I want to start a Christian club. I have all of these students who are down to do it. Find a teacher that is down to just sit in the room. They don't have to do a single thing. They don't have to work. They can literally grade papers in the back and not say a thing. As long as you have a teacher, as long as you have students down to do it, you can start a Christian club. And it could be after school, it could be before school. And my sweet spot, I'm telling you, if you can get it during lunchtime where students are hungry and you want to give out free pizza, it's my story, free pizza. It's the road to salvation, guys. So
good. Yeah, I think you just start with meeting needs, right? Yep. How can you serve that school and how can you get in there? I know some people, especially after COVID, it's been very tough to get back in. But I think most principals are pretty welcoming to somebody that just comes in and says, how can I serve? How can I help? Right. And then, like you said, bring in some donuts or and just how can we serve the teachers? How can we and allowing those conversations to progress is so good. But I think the wisdom also is to look. Maybe it's not a first priority. Maybe it's a Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Maybe it's a Youth for Christ. Maybe it's a at the college level, a Chi Alpha. I mean, but there's different groups that a lot of them have already kind of pioneered into those school systems that you don't have to work against, but you can work with. And partner with and begin to at least get your foot in the door, get connected and known that way. And then maybe, you end up doing something your own. But I think it's great to partner with somebody who's already done the hard work to pioneer those relationships if it's there, right? But if it's not, obviously you got to be a pioneer of yourself. So I think you said it was like 97% unchurched. It's unbelievable, right? For those that don't know Fort Lauderdale, just what is that a little bit, what's it kind of like? Because it's a very unique environment.
This ain't Tulsa, Oklahoma.
This is not Tulsa, Oklahoma.
No. South Florida has a very similar culture to, say, like a New York. It is very, honestly, that's probably the number one spot people are moving to. We're top five fastest growing cities in America, very dense, very multicultural, but incredibly unchurched, right? So, man, you just need to rethink how you're presenting. In all of my messages, I'm very basic, right? And I just believe in this step model. If you're in front of the most non-believers, right, you're not going through a substitutionary atonement in deep theology, right? You're telling them God loves you and he has a plan and purpose for your life, right? Students may not understand the deep theology here, but they know that their parents are getting a divorce and they don't know what to do, that they don't have the money for food. They don't have hope in life, right? Meet those needs, right? Speak to the felt needs when you're in the greatest presence of lost people. And then over time, as they take the next step and the next step, they come to church, they're a regular attender. Then you get to the discipleship, right? But start simple. In a biblical analogy of this is give them milk. If someone is just starting out, they don't need steak, right? So start simple. Make it incredibly accessible to as many as possible. And then give them steps. What's next? Disciple them like that. And then my ultimate goal is once they get it, they love Jesus, they're in. Hey, the deepest you can go is sharing your faith, to be so bought in that you are telling others. So I almost like to think it as a cycle that once we have found them, they're saved, they love Jesus, they're discipled. Now go back to your campus and be a leader, right? If I can do that, that's a win.
Yeah. So you're in this super unchurched culture, community. Talk to us a little bit about those conversations. Yeah. Like you said, you're not starting with you know, sanctification, you know, you're kind of starting, right. But like, so what are some of those entry level conversations? What's that looking like? If that's on the campus, if that's in the community, if that's at the church, what does that kind of look like?
Right. I'll tell you how I've started to mold my messages. So if I get a chance on a camp, I'll give you an example. I'm at Fort Lauderdale High School, and we've gotten a lunchtime club that reach out 170 to 200 students. I am teaching week to week a 10-minute message. And you would think the shorter message is easier. I would argue it's actually harder. Some of us love to talk. It's a challenge to condense, right? To pick an idea, stick to it, and give the most for the least, right? So I'm going to talk about words, word studies almost. I want to talk about what love is, right? Let me define to you what love is. God loved us first so we can love others. What is hope? What is grace? What is forgiveness? There is a huge disconnect. Some people may think that people just know the obvious, easy parts of the Bible, but man, there is such biblical illiteracy out there right now. Man, don't put it past them. Break it down as simple as possible. I was preaching a message on Adam and Eve, the first two people in the Bible. And I had a whole room of blank stares when I, hey guys, y'all know who Adam and Eve is? Blank stares. They had no idea. Man, build even the smallest bit of biblical literacy and you can build from there, but start at ground zero.
That's good advice. And it's tough, right? Cause you're really teaching, but for you in your context, you're really, it's not that they can't learn. It's that they don't know it. And so it's literally introducing people to the scriptures, to Jesus, to these concepts who have never, and in Fort Lauderdale, people are coming from around the world.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you it's an international hub. Yeah. And so you've got people who are coming from significantly different culture backgrounds, religious backgrounds. And so there's no, assuming people know these concepts.
You know, there's a huge Catholic population out here, and I've reached a couple students who come to my church, and parents come to me, hey, Father, is this Mass? And I say, yes. My name is Father Danny. Welcome to Mass. Love them.
Come on in.
Love them. Come on in.
Right? Just take them from where they're at. So good. Danny, any other thoughts or advice for people who are kind of relaunching a youth ministry, wanting to launch a campus ministry on a public school system? Any last thoughts or suggestions for them?
Go. Just do it. Man, you're going to sit there and say, that's a great idea. I should do it. And then table it for next year, next month. Just do it, right? There's probably going to be an initial nerves, like, they're going to tell me no. There's going to be some law that's triggered. Oh, you're a church trying to get on a school campus. You're going to jail. That's not the case. Man, you are protected more than you understand. And there are people on your side more than you know. I've prayed, God, would you bring somebody my way that would be an advocate, a help to me, right? And you would be shocked at how many Christian teachers are wanting to start something like this, but there's nobody willing to partner with them. They're not willing to do anything because they don't want to risk their job, but a church would come in. They will open doors for you that you couldn't dream. Just go do it. Also, make sure you listen to this podcast. Ryan's taught me everything I know. He's a genius. Everything he says is golden.
Oh, so good. I'll send you the check soon here. Hey, well, thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I want to recommend a couple follow-up episodes that'll get you a little bit more in depth. Make sure to watch us on the YouTube channel, Renewed Leadership, but also check out episode 69. It's 3 Marks of a Disciple. And episode 65 is How to Restart, Refresh Your Ministry. And episode 22, A New Approach to Reaching the Campuses. And those are a couple episodes that will get you a little bit more information on some of the topics that we've touched on today. And can't wait to be with you guys here soon. Danny, thanks for being with us, man.
Much love, man.